Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on May 27th, 2014. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages. It's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with solid roots in the community and a partnership with the official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is founder and president of the local Manhattan Beach CERT Association and the Red Cross's community ambassador to Manhattan Beach, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, listeners. I am quite fine, thank you. And just so you know, Joe normally doesn't do that, the intro and the sponsor. Our co-host Jackie's not here, so he was thrown. So we won't hold it against you, Joe.
Well, thank you, George. thank you very much. We're very excited I think this is completing the ring, right? We have
it is for fire. Yep.
Yes, for fire, and this is something that we really had come to by chance, I guess, in a way. But we are very excited about this. Who's our guest today, George?
Oh, I'm reading this.
I think so.
No. Okay. Oh boy. All right. Now we've both done it here. Yeah. See, I made that. Okay. See, we both get our boo-boos.
Oh.
Sorry, Chief.
No problem. I can do it.
Yeah.
The problem is I can't get it up around there.
Oh.
All right. Wonderful. And I got you right now. Our guest this morning is Chief Robert Metzger of the Redondo Beach Fire Department. Chief Metzger has spent his entire career in the fire service. Originally from Ohio, he served with the Toledo Fire Department for 29 years, retiring at the rank of Deputy Fire Chief. Afterwards, he and his wife relocated to Naples, Florida, to be close to family, and while living there, he was appointed Fire Chief of the Golden Gate Fire District, where he served for 5 years. Bob's been serving as Fire Chief for the city of Redondo Beach for the past 15 months. He graduated from the University of Cincinnati with a Bachelor of Science degree in Fire Safety and Engineering, earned his Master's degree in Public Administration from Florida Gulf Coast University. He's also a graduate of the National Fire Academy's Executive Elite Program focused on leadership skills in the fire service. The chief and his wife have 4 grown sons, 6 grandchildren, and are now happily and scout in the Redondo Beach area. Chief, we are so glad to have you on the show this morning.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, thank you, Chief. Thank you for joining us. And, George, you did a great job.
All I had to do was pull it up, but, yeah, all right. See,
No, you absolutely did. And George is actually remote today. He's in North Carolina, George. Is that right?
Yes, I am. Yep.
North Carolina. And so we're very international today. Jackie is on vacation in I think the continent, Italy and other places in Europe, and
yep.
I hope she's having a wonderful time. I hope her and JB are having a great time. So, Chief, let's talk about, you know, first off, as we were talking about, this completes the ring for us. That's fire chiefs for what city, George, have we had on?
Oh, well, we've gone from Hermosa Beach. We've had former Fire Chief Jim Hone
from Santa Monica, exactly,
three times now.
Yeah,
and then in police, I still need to get with Redondo Police, so maybe you can do that. But we've had representatives from Torrance,
right,
and all of the beach cities,
right.
Also on
right.
the show.
So, Chief. First off, I want to just talk about, you know, the fire service has changed the mission in the last several decades, 20 or 30 years, I guess, has really changed as firefighting has become more technical. The expertise has risen so high, and of course, building standards have changed so that there aren't as many structure fires as there used to be with all the UL codes for electricity and all that. But the fire service continues to be, you know, busy, busy, busy because there's lots of other things. Can you talk a little bit about the change in mission?
Well, sure. The mission has always been public safety.
Right.
The emphasis is always on trying to prevent those kinds of situations, fires, disasters, if at least trying to mitigate disasters as they might occur, and then the personal disasters of medical situations that families encounter that they are ill prepared to deal with themselves.
Right.
As you mentioned, the mission has shifted somewhat, and that's essentially a good shift in that as fire prevention measures, building construction, building materials, and even here in Redondo Beach, for example, we have a mandatory fire sprinkler ordinance for all new structures. As all of those things occur and the instances of fires tend to go away, we still have medical emergencies. We still have rescue situations. And all of those situations are becoming, those numbers are actually at least level and in some cases are on the rise.
Mm.
So we're very busy.
Right. It's a situation where, is it true that all of your station house personnel have medical training, or do you differentiate and some people are full EMS and others have less medical training?
Well, the structure is probably not that well known to the community. Everybody in all of our stations are trained to one of two different standards. The first one is emergency medical technician, and that's essentially a basic certification that still requires a fair amount of training. It's well beyond typical first aid training.
Mm.
But the next qualification, which most people are familiar with, is paramedic. And that is probably four times the training that an EMT receives, maybe probably even more. But everybody has some level of training, and frankly, paramedics could not successfully accomplish their missions without the assistance of trained EMTs who handle all of the basic functions that keep people functioning, take care of the basic life support elements and so forth. But in terms of transport, some of the the Bay Fire Department's transport. Some do not. Redondo Beach does not typically transport its own people, so therefore, or its own patients. Therefore, we utilize ambulance companies that are also part, an integral part of the EMS system.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, how many different companies are there that service the Redondo Beach area?
For ambulance companies?
Yes.
Or fire?
No, ambulance.
McCormick Ambulance is the primary ambulance company. Occasionally we'll get one or two others that come through here, but they largely are the service provider for this response area. And they run with us on an awful lot of calls.
Right. And how big is the department? How big is the Redondo Beach Fire Department?
Well, I think we're probably at about 65 people now. We were fortunate enough to be able to hire 4 new people recently. So we're very happy about that because we're finally beginning to get back to our authorized strength numbers. So and the service area of Redondo Beach is typically 6.5 square miles, and we service that out of 3 separate fire stations, one in north, one in south, and then one in the harbor marina area.
Right. It's very exciting. All of the things that I think, you know, the fire service does for the community. I just recently went through a CERT class in Manhattan Beach, and it's wonderful to see how well integrated the fire departments are today in the community and the back and forth. Does Redondo Beach have a CERT organization?
Oh, yes.
How are they doing?
They're doing very well. Our CERT program has been around since the mid-1990s, I want to say 1996. Mm-hmm. And we just recently graduated our 50th CERT class.
Ooh.
So that's a fairly substantial milestone. The original intent of the program when it was adopted locally was to train approximately 1% of the population of Redondo Beach in CERT training. That would have put us at around 630, let's say, people. And we've graduated something like 1,600 people out of those 50 classes.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, they have a very active group, and we are branching off now internally within CERT into a ham radio program. And this is a focus that when I arrived in Redondo Beach and I heard some people just kind of kicking around this idea of developing a ham radio program locally, I was very enthusiastic based on some experience that I was involved in up in Ohio. And the concept is to train a cadre of people, most of whom already have ham radio experience, but don't have a direct connection with government, and train them to work with us so that in the event of a catastrophic breakdown of our internal communication system, we can acquire ham radio operators and their radios to run with us on calls so that we can communicate back and forth and also to our base stations to be able to coordinate responses and essentially try to back up any failed communication system that we have. And we're pretty excited about the development at this point.
Very exciting. Redondo Beach is well above 2% on CERT training. George, another
yep.
community with 2%.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, we're not at 2.
Yeah.
We are not at 2. I mean, you know, our mayor some time ago mentioned 10%, but we have exceeded the 1%. But I want to back up now because it was the Redondo Beach CERT organization and their assistant and Marcel back in 2008 that we actually mirrored and assisted us in putting ourselves together and forming our CERT organization. Mm-hmm. And you do have you've got a great chief. I should plug right now, on June 14th in Manhattan Beach, we are having communication training. It's going to be 4 hours of training. It's going to be in our community room at the police and fire station from 8 to noon. We will be covering both amateur, land mobile, and the FRS radio. So anybody interested in any communications within our CERT groups and our organization, our little ad hoc get-together, we want to invite everybody to come to this training, a bit of PowerPoint presentation, the basics, and then we're going to go outside and move around the plaza and do some talking. So we'll be setting up all three different communication setups there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. This is yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chief.
That wasn't me.
It was me, Terry. Go ahead.
It was you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, as I learn more about the organizations that are fully up and running in the South Bay, CERT is very healthy and doing well in the South Bay, so it's an excellent opportunity for everyone in each community to get involved with CERT training. There's going to be CERT training in Hermosa Beach the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Of June in Hermosa Beach.
That's correct. I've been asked to put on a class, so our Manhattan Beach instructors and myself will be putting on a class starting on day Saturday and Sunday the 8th. Anybody out there interested in being a participant, may contact me and I'll hook you up with the. So you can sign up for this, but we're also looking for volunteers to be victims. And that would be around noon on Sunday the 8th to come in and get made up. It's going to be something different. Most of our disaster exercises have been outside and inside, a combination at our city yard. This one may be a little bit outside, but we're going to take a good deal of it inside in close quarters with a lot of people. I'm really excited about this particular disaster exercise.
Yeah, excellent. It's we're looking forward to that.
We've talked about a couple then, two of my. My notes here at the end, so that's good. We keep going. Chief, let's chat. All right, one question. Are all of, within your fire department, your EMS, are all of your firefighters, are your EMTs reserves?
No, in Redondo, we don't have any reserve program. All of our firefighters are full-time paid professional people. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have a reserve program. The EMTs are largely assigned to our truck, our aerial tower, and mm-hmm. which is basically a specialized unit here, principally serving Redondo Beach, but we are a part of the first response for Hermosa and Manhattan. They maintain a separate set of skills different from a lot of our other firefighters on fire engines. Mm-hmm. But they typically don't respond on the life-threatening emergency medical calls that our engines do. Therefore, we don't require that they be paramedic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. All of your trained firefighters are also either a paramedic slash, other than that group, are also a paramedic or an EMT.
Well, that is correct. Even that group, everybody in that group is at least an EMT, but not necessarily a paramedic. And the differentiation, the distinction is not as important as you might think, because in every situation, no matter who you get from the fire service, there is somebody there to help. And and the basic level of help that they'll be able to provide will contribute significantly to the outcome of that situation. So, you know, it's nice to have paramedics, but our EMTs are invaluable out in the field.
Oh, they are. Of course they are. Just as a quick note, in March, we actually graduated 11 emergency medical response trained people now through the Red Cross, that and we've developed a call-out team in within our Manhattan Beach CERT Association. That's that being the first of the EMS recognized, not in California, but as an emergency medical responder, we've been working now with government to be able to assist that, and we will have more training starting probably this beginning of this next year, and this training will be opened up to other cities too if people want to take the Red Cross's EMR classes.
George, I think you cite something that is really important and perhaps is understated at times related to CERT. I think we all recognize the importance that CERT essentially plays and will play, particularly in any future disasters. But their impact is going to be largely determined by their level of training. And the kind of medical training that you just described is going to be, in the long run, essential for them, because CERT's going to be working on their own for the first 48 or so hours in an emergency before a lot of the critical calls that are going to be handled by fire and police will allow them to finally make it back into some areas where perhaps the CERT crews are working on their own. So it's really critical for CERT members to get as much training across the board in a variety of skills.
Exactly. And I think that's all of our organizations throughout the CERT organizations, and just through that, Area G is 13 cities, and we have 11 active CERT organizations within those 13 cities that participate in our training, and we share our training. Just for you listeners, we allow other CERT organizations, you know, so everybody's welcome to come to Manhattan Beach. Everybody's welcome to go to Tri-City or Palos Verdes. So it works out.
Excellent.
Yes, it does.
Excellent. We have, you know, as we are experiencing it and talking about, we have some really strong organizations in the South Bay. I'm looking at the Redondo Beach CERT Alumni Association. It's rbcertaa.org. rbcertaa.org. Redondo Beach CERT Alumni Association, and they have lots of great resources, and they have lots of great apparel too. I love the shirts and the hat and all that. It's very good. When you think about the types of disasters that are, I want to shift a little bit to sort of the overall sort of profile of Redondo Beach for disasters, because it's going to be different than Hermosa. It's going to be different than Manhattan in particular. You have to prepare for what's specific to your city. Tell us what you think about when you think about, generally speaking, the potential for disaster in Redondo Beach. And we're going to take them one by one. I mean, George, I forget the exact order, but one of the disasters that we talk about in CERT training is terrorism.
Right.
what are some of the potentials in Redondo Beach that you prepare for, Chief?
Well, for me, there's probably two major concerns. The first would be any place where there's a large gathering of people.
Right.
So the Galleria Mall in Redondo Beach is one of the first things that I think about, because it's a large facility, attracts a tremendous amount of people with all of its shopping opportunities and so forth. And on any given day, if you were to walk through there, the place is absolutely crowded with people. So that's in terms of a soft target that has a lot of people available. That's one concern that I would have. So we discuss and address on a periodic basis that area as a potential response, so that we can better prepare ourselves in the event something occurs. And we're all speaking in very, very general terms, largely because I don't frankly want to put out there the kinds of scenarios for which we would train.
Right.
But we have those things in our minds, and we try to address them in an assembly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, we have some of our commercial industrial concerns, including the aerospace facilities that are in the North Redondo area.
Mm-hmm.
And while they have they're pretty dialed in terms of their own internal security and the measures that they take to protect themselves, in the event that they have some sort of situation, they will absolutely rely on the outside assistance of the public safety agencies like the fire department and the police department, and we are almost assuredly going to rely on our brother and sister agencies in the communities neighboring us.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about these scenarios, and we discuss the ways that we will try to address a variety of different situations that might occur in any one of those facilities. But it's important to exercise this stuff, and there are some we have some discussions in the works right now about larger scale exercises to try to put people in a better frame of mind on how to respond and how to address some of the things that we're talking about.
Right, right.
Chief, let's and then you, unlike Manhattan, Hermosa, have a waterfront. You have a large waterfront, and you have a rescue boat.
Actually, we have two boats. We have a fire boat, which is it is an unstaffed fire boat in terms of being staffed 24 hours. It's a fire boat that we staff with crews from our truck, and we also have a rescue boat, which is a full-time staffed Harbor Patrol vessel with two people on it. So we have two different immediately available assets that can respond to a variety of different small emergencies and even some of the larger scale issues that may occur. So the capability is there to put a substantial presence on the water.
Right. Well, that's one thing that I'd love to talk a little bit more about after the break, because, of course, King Harbor, Redondo Beach, King Harbor is famous in the South Bay, and I guess, George, it is the only beach city, South Bay city that has a harbor, so we should talk about that specifically, and we will. We're talking with Chief Robert Metzger, Chief of the Redondo Beach Fire Department. We're thrilled to have him and his expertise and to talk about the potential for disaster, but also the preparation and the skill that the Redondo Beach Fire Department brings to that preparation. And we will talk about that after the break. If you'd like to call in and ask the chief a question, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Please call us with your comment or question. And at this time, George, here I go. This is my first time.
I understand. All right. Listeners, bear with them. Bear with them. This is a Jackie thing, you know.
That is correct. This is the South Bay Show is brought to you by Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong, certified public accountants and consultants when it comes to protecting your assets. It's never too early to begin planning your financial future. Protect your assets and hard-earned dollars. You'll want to experience professionals. You'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents, deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit associations and organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical expertise with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com. That's bcws.com, or call 310-542-0011. That's 310-542-0011. 1-1, Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong, navigating your way to financial success.
And that wasn't too bad.
Thank
that
you,
wasn't
George.
Bad, Joe. All right, they may want a little bit of money back.
They may. I hope not.
You got the point across.
Yes. You need a strong team to help you plan your future and protect your money. You do indeed. And we need a strong team to help us guide our way through the perils of having one of the most active harbors in all of Santa Monica. I mean, there are other harbors, but Redondo Beach's King Harbor is one of the largest, if not the largest. Chief, can you tell us, where does King Harbor rank in the harbors that are on the Santa Monica Bay?
It is the finest harbor there is on the West Coast.
Of course it is. That we knew.
We knew it was the finest harbor, yes. Is it one of the larger ones, or?
You know, that's a piece of information I don't honestly know.
Right.
I am told that it's for a city this size, that it's a large harbor for a city this size.
Yeah.
It is, keep in mind, largely a recreational harbor.
Mm-hmm.
We don't consider ourselves a commercial harbor per se, although we did recently receive the Chevron Cokers through King Harbor,
right,
that were transported up through PCH to the Chevron refinery in El Segundo. So there's some capability in that regard, but that's not the normal traffic that we receive.
Right.
So
right.
It's mostly a harbor for those who operate pleasure craft. There's a couple of commercial entities that sail out of King Harbor, but we're small in terms of the kinds of watercraft that we keep in the harbor.
You know, Chief, we talk a lot about you know, obviously we talk a lot about earthquake preparedness here in Southern California. We talk a lot about the potential disaster scenarios for earthquake preparedness, but we've mentioned tsunamis, but given that Redondo Beach has a harbor and there is a tremendous amount of activity at the harbor, lots and lots of residents, lots and lots of people from out of town and so forth, can you tell us a little bit about the strategies and techniques for disaster preparation in terms of tsunamis and the Redondo Beach harbor?
Yeah, this is a topic that has been discussed quite a bit. There's a lot of concern, and justifiably so, because the nature of a tsunami that might reach the King Harbor area is going to be, the severity of it is going to be somewhat dependent on how close the event is that precipitated the tsunami and how severe it is. Mm. Now, we've had tsunami in King Harbor. It was perhaps a swell that was maybe, I'm told, about 6 inches high or something like that. But it's a very forceful swell of water that, make no joke about it, will cause some serious displacement of vessels in their slips. But in terms of the harbor is very well protected from the break wall that it has. But it doesn't make it completely immune from the impact of a tsunami, and it just depends on how that tsunami is going to be generated. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of what we're going to do, if we have advance notice that some event far enough away occurs that will give us time to notify the various marina and the harbor operators and so forth, we'll put word out to them, but it's really a matter of people trying to keep themselves aware of what's occurring, so that if there's something going on where they feel they need to secure their vessel in a different way, they can get there to do exactly that. There is not going to be a lot that we can do to change the fact that a tsunami is on its way.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing that we can do is try to keep, if we think it's severe, honestly, we're going to try to keep people away from the area that's going to be impacted.
Mm-hmm.
If the reports that we get indicate that it may not be a severe thing, that perhaps it would be in their best interest to get to their vessel and secure it in a different way, we may permit that. It just depends on the information that we have. The bottom line is we're mostly going to be interested in life safety. Vessel damage will likely occur no matter what they do. So by and large, we're going to just try to keep people away from areas that will be impacted.
Right. This is it's a large part of the recreation here in the South Bay is going to the water, is being on the water or near the water, and it's something that I know a lot of people are interested in, but we are pretty well prepared, aren't we?
I think that we are, and in Redondo Beach, particularly the beach areas, which are patrolled by Los Angeles County lifeguards, they are very well trained in terms of being able to recognize the symptoms of what's going on, even if there has not been time for warning to come out. They recognize the symptoms of impending tsunami, particularly the rapid retreat of water from the shore.
Mm-hmm.
When they see something like that, they're going to clear the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with them in terms of working to prepare for that kind of eventuality, and I'm very, you know, comfortable and confident in working with them as a partner on the beaches.
Right. Wow. This is Robert Metzger, Fire Chief for Redondo Beach, and we're talking about disasters and preparation for disasters in Redondo, and we're having a great discussion. What, Chief, do you think of as we look towards the future of firefighting and of, as you said, you know, most fire services are really oriented towards personal safety, which includes so many different things. Another thing we talked about in CERT training wasn't just terrorism, but it was, hazardous materials. Okay, George, I'm going to give it a try. Oh, I think it's radiological, it's biohazard, it's all of those things that fire services have to be trained on these days. It's just like sort of an alphabet soup of.
Are you thinking of what, CBRNE? Is that where you were going with this?
Yes, CBRNE.
Yeah.
We're talking about explosives, IEDs. Fire services have to be trained to recognize the signs and symptoms of IEDs and call out the specific bomb personnel to handle those. Talk a little bit about that, Chief, the future of what fire services are going to be, you know, 5-10 years from now.
Well, even it's even today. The issues that you're alluding to aren't necessarily what is being generated within your community,
right?
But it's what's traveling through your community.
Mm.
And those are typically the scenarios where there's actually a risk to the community are things that are being shipped in one fashion or another through your community. And when trucks get into accidents or in some other way lose their cargo, mm-hmm. and that happens to be a hazardous material, the fire department has to be able to respond to at least mitigate part of that hazard. When I say mitigate it, we're not the fixers in terms of cleaning it up, but what we will do our absolute level best to do is to isolate that spill so that it can't damage or spread to other areas, and we'll try to keep it from getting into the infrastructure, the sewer system, and so forth, because it's going to be bad enough environmentally if it's a hazardous material. But it gets worse if we can't control it. Mm-hmm. So these kinds of potential risks occur every day because these trucks are traveling up and down our highways, mm-hmm. and up and down our interstates. So fire departments have to be prepared to do that. Now, Redondo Beach does not operate a hazardous materials unit. Mm-hmm. We would rely upon mutual aid assistance from either the county, principally from the county. But if the county was not able to respond, we'd certainly call out an adjacent community's hazmat team to assist us with mitigating any kind of incident. Mm-hmm. Down the road, you know, if you're asking to put on a lens that's 10 years or so in the future, mm-hmm. These kinds of situations will only multiply because, by and large, the needs of a community for certain kinds of things, just, for example, selling gasoline in your community, mm-hmm. requires that somehow a delivery of that gasoline be made to the neighborhood fueling station. And while fuel trucks are very safe and the operations that they do every day are very safe, it's still a mechanical operation, and anything mechanical can break down, and there can always be a component that fails, that causes an unanticipated release of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And those things will continue to occur going into the future. There really I know that they're always looking at ways to try to make things safer. They do a good job, but we still have to be the guys to be available in the event that there's a failure of some kind.
Right.
And there's other kinds of examples of hazardous materials that travel through our communities that make an unexpected stop in a way that wasn't anticipated, that we've got to mitigate the spill in some fashion.
that what you were talking about the skill and dedication to prevent disasters, but you know, the inability to stop them reminds me of the mantra that we talked about in CERT class. The terrorists have to be, they just have to keep trying. We have to be 100% perfect, which is impossible. The terrorists just have to keep trying, and that applies to general disasters like spills and so forth. It's going to happen in the future someday, and we have to be ready and vigilant.
That's absolutely true.
Right, right. Well, this is interesting. Now, do you have any other initiatives in the fire department today and in the fire services today that you look toward? Where are the holes in the conversation? Are there some things we have not talked about?
Well, the topic of the moment in the fire service seems to be a concept called community paramedicine, which is really utilizing highly skilled paramedics in ways to assist public health, but in ways that we have previously not considered using them. And the concept is being vetted through some pilot programs that are occurring in LA County, but it runs something like this, where for the most part, currently, paramedics respond to medical emergencies, the patient is delivered to the hospital, and by and large, that paramedic does not see that patient again. And the concept behind community paramedicine is, depending on the nature of the medical emergency, after that patient is released from the medical facility, the paramedic may be brought in to visit them to make sure that the follow-up care that's required of the patient by their doctor is actually being performed. The thought is that there's a certain percentage, and I don't know what it is, but a certain percentage of patients who would benefit from an in-home visit by a paramedic to confirm that they're following up on their medical regimen, they're taking their medication, that we are evaluating them to make sure that the treatment they received in the hospital has been effective and that they're not becoming symptomatic of the very same problem from which they suffered that caused them to go into the hospital in the first place. So there's the jury's out as to whether or not this is a cost-effective way of using community paramedics, because I'm not really sure that they've identified what the additional cost will be. As a fire chief and as a guy who had been a paramedic for 20 years before I finally allowed my certification to lapse, because it just didn't seem prudent to try to continue to maintain it when I wasn't practicing. But recognizing that there's a cost associated with the expansion of just about any kind of service, what I'm interested in knowing is whether or not this initiative actually results in an improvement to patient condition, and if it's something we can measure. And if it is, then I'm certainly interested in talking more about it. And there's really a lot of discussion going on in the fire departments and in the local medical community about that.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's new on me. George, have you run across this before?
Not that, but Chief Espinosa's conversation of being able to utilize our CERT organization in some new ways for citizens' assistance. I think that might fall into something that we are. If I may, just quickly here, I need to run through a couple of upcoming. A week from tomorrow evening on 6-4, we are going to have a town hall meeting in Manhattan Beach at 6 p.m. to be Margaret Vinci, the Office of Earthquake Programs Manager for Caltech. She's going to talk about tsunamis and earthquakes, 6 p.m. at the Joslyn Center, 1601 Valley Drive in Manhattan Beach. On the 5th, 6-5, all throughout PR. So you may be hit with a flash mob of people jumping out and saving one person and or trying to teach you. Last year we taught over 180 people just compressions only CPR. And then, of course, we talked about on 6, 7, and 8, the CERT class in Hermosa Beach, open to all cities if anybody is interested in taking the class over one weekend. You may contact me at info@mbcerta.org. And then coming up next week, our guest next week is Russell Coyne. He is with My Notification Service, and we're going to talk about emergency notifications for disasters or just about anything. The following week on 6-10, Richard Broom, author and instructor, college instructor, professor, we're going to talk about some of the trees, the coming cyber war, and building a culture for preparedness. That's going to be on 6-10 at 7 in the morning. And then I'm working with where I am right now in Swansboro, North Carolina, which is quite the tourist area, but it also is Jacksonville and Camp Lejeune. This last Friday, calls kept going out because the Marines got let out and everybody was ready to leave the area and leave, and accidents were one right after another because everybody was rushing. But we're going to talk about both fire and EMS in it's Swansboro, North Carolina. It's a friendly city by the sea, and we're looking to chat with their fire chief, Art Taylor. That's on 6-17.
Wow.
And that's what I've got right now. But if I may continue just briefly with the idea of citizens helping, and whether that's through a volunteers that are now our EMR, our emergency medical responders, that could possibly do something like that. But Chief Espinoza has discussed putting together a group that could go out to specific areas on a 93 degree day in Manhattan Beach, which is unheard of. It probably wouldn't be a bad thing to have some 10 by 10s with some misters out there and some odds and ends. But so I think that Chief, maybe you two sit down and chat, and if LA County is doing something. In fact, Chief Espinoza was listening earlier today to the show. He indicated that. Before we wrap up, Chief, I wanted to talk about the fish kill. I wanted to talk briefly because, you know, I've been gone since last Wednesday, but I heard that they were still working on cleaning the fish up in Marina Del Rey, and I'm just wondering, I never heard any call-outs for any CERT organizations, for any assistance to go there to help, where when Redondo had this onslaught of the fish, for a reason, decided to go into the marina and suffocate themselves to the tune of, you know, hundreds of thousands of them probably. You know, you called out volunteers and the general public, anybody that wanted to come, and we all brought our CERT organizations to help. I'm sure you know a little bit about what has gone on there, again, which I'm not up on, but what can you tell us both about maybe the fish kill, why, and maybe some differences in how it was handled?
Great questions. Let me start by saying that the Redondo incident predated my employment here. So the information that I have is largely anecdotal, what I've been able to read and what people have told me. The Redondo fish kill numbered up into the millions of fish I think they've determined that the Marina del Rey incident was substantially less than that, probably something like a half or a quarter of that. That is still a lot of fish. And it doesn't surprise me that many days later they're still dealing with it, because when these fish die off, initially there's going to be some that are on the surface and some that sink. Eventually, just about everything that sinks will rise to the surface. And it will take a lot of follow-up to remove these dead fish carcasses from the water. It is a people-intensive kind of effort to just get all this stuff removed. And when Redondo had the incident, they recognized that it was going to just take more hands than the city could put up through its public works and fire department and so forth. And that's why the call went out, and that's why they were largely successful in dealing with it, was because of the number of people and also the coordination of those people into crews and assignments and so forth. I know very little about how Marina del Rey handled theirs. I can only imagine that it was a major undertaking, and I think that the way they managed it was largely successful. But it's the kind of thing that just days later it continues to unfold, and Redondo had put in place some measures to try to churn up the water so that whatever might be on the bottom might come up sooner than later. I don't know if that kind of effort was made in Marina del Rey, but as I said, it's just one of those long-term kinds of events that unfold.
Wow, that's interesting. And you know, we're just getting towards the end, Chief, and we're thrilled to have had you on the show. We completed our hat trick, and now we've talked to the chiefs, the fire chiefs here in the South Bay, and we're thrilled to have you, and looking forward to the next time.
Hey, and me too. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are a service for the community. We hope that you've enjoyed this. A chat, a conversation with your fire chief. If you have any desire to join CERT organizations or get involved, get trained, as we said at the top of the show, protect your life, the lives of neighbors, the life of a treasured pet, you can find out more by going to rbcertaa.org for the Redondo Beach CERT Alumni Association. You can always go to mbcerta.org for the Manhattan Beach CERT Association. Chief, is there any contact information you'd like to give out for people that want to get involved and learn how to protect themselves or help others?
If they have any questions about that, they can contact the Redondo Beach Fire Department at area code 310-318-0663.
All right. And that number again, Chief?
310-318-0663.
All right. Great. Perfect. Perfect. So, George, another successful show from North Carolina.
Yeah, yes. That's right. This would be my second show from here.
Yes.
It is. You know, don't you just love Skype?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chief Robert Metzger, for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. And we're missing our third co-host, Jackie Balestra, owner, producer, writer of the South Bay SouthBayByJackie.com, but we hope she's having a fabulous time. And that's a wrap. That's our show for today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next Tuesday. So please join us then. Bye-bye now.